Civilizations leave things behind, and not always what we count on lasting for centuries, things like monuments and cathedrals, but everyday objects and implements, plates, pots, that kind of stuff. A new book charts mankind's story through the stories of 100 objects, all of which are housed in the venerable British Museum. Neil McGregor is the director of the British Museum and author of A History of the World in 100 Objects. He joins us in our studios here. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
The extraordinary wealth of exhibits you have at the British Museum must have been narrowing this down, if we might refer to a list of 100 as narrow, must have made narrowing this down quite a project.
Well, the whole project is an absurd one, obviously. I mean, to try to tell a history of the world anyway, let alone in 100 objects. What we tried to do was to decide that we would start right at the beginning with the things people like us made about 2 million years ago and come right up to today, but that above all, we'd keep trying to go around the world so that we would keep spinning the globe at different moments and see what people are up to, what are they thinking about, fretting about, what are they making. And that helped because that gave us a framework.
Let's just start detailing the objects if we can. For example, the oldest object housed in the British Museum is the Olduvite chopping tool.
Yes. If you saw this lying on the road or on a beach, you would certainly walk past it. It looks like a cobble that's got a sharp edge. But when you look at it more closely, you can see that that sharp edge has been very carefully chipped and made. And it's probably one of the oldest things anybody ever made, about 1.8 million years ago in East Africa. And that's where really the whole story of us making things begins, because it's that kind of chopping tool that lets us strip the meat off the dead animals, break the bones for the marrow, and that lets us get the protein that lets our brains grow. And then that's why we're all here today, really.
Let me ask you about an object that's from this backyard, a stone smoking pipe. I guess it's about 2,000 years old, and it was found in what we call Ohio today.
Yes.
North American otter pipe.
One of the things we wanted to look at was the things we've made through time for pleasure. And one of the great pleasures for a lot of humanity has been smoking.
And you don't hear that a lot these days.
It's not something one should say very loudly in public, but for most of history, it appears to have been true. And in these great mounds built by these North American inhabitants about 2,000 years ago were found these wonderful collections of little stone pipes. They look a bit like a kazoo. And this one is very, very beautiful because it's carved in the shape of an otter. And as you smoke it, you're eye to eye with this little animal that appears just to have bobbed up from below the water. And I think that the tobacco was probably mildly hallucinogenic. So presumably you and the otter really got going into some kind of relationship as you had your smoke. And that's also one of the lovely things about these objects, that you, some of it's absolutely clear what's going on. It is a pipe, it is for tobacco, it does represent an otter. But then we've just got to imagine why you would want to make a pipe in the shape of an otter and what actually smoking it would be like and why you would enjoy it.
I mean, does this have something to do with the development of early humankind's sense of humor?
It could. We couldn't find evidence of jokes early on. You can find obviously lots of evidence of sex and of love and people making love, being in love. But not many things can demonstrate that we were laughing then. But I think if you smoked enough of that tobacco, my bet is you probably wound up laughing pretty heartily. So I think Mound City 2,000 years ago was a pretty good place to be.
All right. Well, let me ask you about something that's from relatively nearby, too. The Akan drum.
This object is also one that's changed its meaning as it's gone along. When the great collector, Hans Sloane, in London in the 1730s, was trying to put together objects from civilizations all around the world, which is the core of the British Museum, he was interested in music, that all cultures made music. And he wanted to represent Native American music. And he bought a drum in Virginia in 1730. And it was brought back to London. And when the museum opened in 1759, it was there, labelled North American Indian Drum. About 150 years later, it dawned on somebody that it didn't actually look North American at all. the carving looked African. Then the scientists got onto it, and it was clear that the wood is entirely West African. So what you have is a West African drum that got to Virginia by 1730 that must have come on a slave ship. And this must be one of the drums that was used to make the slaves dance as they were being transported to stop them getting depressed or ill. And I think it's the oldest documented Afro-American musical instrument.
Question occurs to me while we're here.
Yes.
This is a big book, 100 objects. Get ready. Is this an object we're going to have much longer, or is this about to go into the museum?
That's the really big question. And it might well be that in 20 years we will be looking at objects like this, thinking how amazing it was that everybody carried them around. But everybody does like carrying them around. So I think they're going to be with us for quite a bit.
Mr. McGregor, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Neil McGregor, speaking with us in our studios. A History of the World in 100 Objects is out now. And you can see some objects from the collection on our website, npr.org. Listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.